paid
260 euros for a pair of Crocs, man.
Those shoes pretty much broke my foot.
It's only going downhill from here.
What up, guys? This is Josh.
And this is Fobs. And this is the Kickback Pod.
Yo, what is good, guys? Welcome back to the Kickback Pod. And shout out to everyone, all of my listeners that I've hung in there, because I know it's been a while since the last episode. It's been crazy. We've been very, very busy. But guys, we are super excited about this episode because our man Fobs is back. Finally back from the other side of the world. And it's just like good times again, man. Good to have you back, Fobs. What is up, my man?
What up, what up? Fobs is back in town. Big Daddy Fobs back in the Berlin.
Yo, what?
I don't
Big
know.
Daddy
I say
Fobs, I like that.
I have no idea. I've been saying that a lot recently. I'm super glad to be back. The dynamic duo is back in the booth, spitting fire, spitting sneaker knowledge. It's great to be back. It's been a while. I mean, you've been, you know, really busy, which is why you've been not bringing out episodes every couple weeks. And I've obviously been in Southeast Asia on parental leave, which is why you guys haven't heard my voice in a while. But we are back. We are back on schedule, hoping to drop every 2 weeks now. And we have a very lighthearted and fun episode for you today. But before we get into that, Josh, how are you? I mean, you know, we've obviously talked offline, but I want to know on the record, how are you doing? How's it been?
Yo, man, last month has been insanely busy for me with work stuff, to be honest, and I'm not going to bore you guys with all of that, but I guess exciting stuff that happened in the last month. I visited Stockholm for the first time, Sweden. I really enjoyed Stockholm. Really, really beautiful city, amazing architecture. Got a chance to check out the original Sneakers and Stuff store, which was really, really nice. Like, what a nice store. And I went there on a Sunday, and even on a Sunday, that place was packed, like completely busy. Also checked out, I really, really enjoyed all of the vintage shopping there. I bought myself a really nice jacket that I found. And also, you know, the Swedes, they are great at, you know, furniture, architecture, all that stuff. So I was so impressed by all of the little shops selling different things for the house, all these architectures, different types of furniture that you really can't find anyone else that looks as aesthetically nice. So I ended up buying a bunch of stuff for the apartment, and it was just a great time, man. So shout out to Sweden.
How big was the stuff that you bought? Like, was it bought and had to like get shipped back to Berlin?
Yeah, exactly.
Or was it stuff
exactly
that you could really? So yeah, you actually bought some real life big ass furniture and had it shipped.
Not big. So bought a really big painting, and then also bought a really cool mirror. Got a lamp. But all of these things, because, you know, being in the EU, super easy to ship stuff around for no extra customs or anything like that. So I just told the store owner, I live in Germany, just have this shipped to me, and none of them had any problems doing that. So I definitely suggest anyone's looking, you know, things for the house, Sweden, you got to check it out.
Oh,
but you,
man,
Fobs, bro, you've been away for 3 months, man. 3 months enjoying the sun while the rest of us were basically fighting off depression over here in Europe. So how you been, man?
Yeah, man, it was good. I definitely recommend taking 3 months off from work, because not working is so much better than working. No matter what your job is, no matter what you do, having free time always trumps work, in my opinion, at least. And yeah, we had a great time. We bonded a lot as a family, as a growing young family. Little Lenny developed crazy amounts whilst we were gone. He learned to crawl. He's pulling himself up on things. And that means, I mean, you know, I don't want to be like that parent that's always talking about random developments of their kid, because, you know, it's a big deal to me. It might not be a big deal to listeners, but him pulling himself up on things means he's close to standing and close to walking, which means he's close to wearing shoes. And that's definitely something that's relevant to this podcast.
That's hype.
So definitely stay tuned to the Lenny Sneaker Chronicles. But nah, it was a really great time. The weather was amazing. It's funny because We took the train, like we flew into Frankfurt because flights from Berlin suck. Anyone who's been to the Berlin airport knows that we have terrible connections everywhere. So we flew into Frankfurt because my family lives there, stayed there a couple days, and then we took the train up. And we had literally arrived from Thailand like 5 days ago, and we were sharing this like cabin with another woman and her two kids. And we were telling her, like, you know, small talk, blah, blah, blah. And then we were telling her that we were just in Thailand for 2 months. And literally the first thing she says is, "Oh, but you guys aren't even 10. And I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit offended because we were definitely 10 if you compared us to what we were in January and February, because Berlin winters definitely bring me back down to like 100% whiteness, and I'm usually someone who gets brown really quickly, like, you know, obviously relative to my you know, base skin color, but I'm also someone who loses my tan pretty quickly. So I guess those 5 days in Germany definitely subtracted enough tan for her to comment on my lack of a tan, which, you know, ruffled my feathers a little bit. So I think once the sun comes out in Berlin and it's a little bit warmer, I'm going to use every free second that I have to sit on my balcony just in my underwear or even butt naked and try and get as tan as possible. That's basically my to-do of the summer.
Nah, she was wrong, man. There's different shades of white, you know. Like we met a couple of days ago, and I can confirm you definitely looked a bit more tanned than you normally do, for
a
sure.
A bit more tanned than usual, exactly.
Yeah,
Thank you for noticing.
No, but good to hear, man. Good to hear you guys had a great time. Good to hear that Lenny, you know, making small steps, baby steps towards finally getting his first pair of sneakers, man. That's exciting for sure. But definitely. Yeah, man, happy to have you back. So let's talk about the listener of the week. So big shout out to Flying Asparagus. And he's actually one of the designers over at New Balance. He is, in fact, the guy who designed the 2002R Protection Pack, as well as several other sneakers, including the 9060s. Shout out to him because he did DM me saying congratulations on the 50th episode, which I thought was pretty dope. So definitely shout out to you. And by the way, his name is Yu Wu. So hope to have him on the pod one day. That would be definitely very, very dope.
That'd be dope. Let's reach out to him. Then we'll move on to a quick, not even a news roundup, but just basically what caught my eye, and I wanted to get your opinion on this, Josh, is that there's rumors that Nike has dropped Tom Sachs and will not be releasing any more Tom Sachs Nike sneakers. And this comes after rumors of a Mars Yard 3.0. So that was basically squashed within 24 hours. Nike hasn't come out officially and said anything yet as of right now, as of recording time. Maybe they will. But you, as a, you know, a fan of the general purpose shoe, and, you know, I did appreciate his earlier Mars Yard designs as well. What are your thoughts on that?
I would have been very, very shocked if Nike continued to work with him, given how insane those allegations were. Whether they were true or not, a brand like Nike just cannot, I think, afford to even be seen or be heard with anyone that has allegations like that, because they're just so big that it's just simply not worth it. So I totally am not surprised at all. I would have been shocked, in fact, if there really was going to be a Mars Yard 3.0 coming out. And I really hope those allegations are not true, because those are some nasty, nasty allegations. I don't know if you've read through them or not, but they were crazy. They absolutely blew up the timeline for good reason. Honestly, if the allegations are true, I'm not saying they are, but if they're true, good riddance to Tom. I actually, as soon as I heard about the allegations, I got rid of my yellow pair of the Tom Sachs that I actually really, really liked, but I just didn't see myself wearing that shoe anymore, so I sold those, and I don't plan on buying any more Tom Sachs. But yeah, I'm actually personally very happy that Nike made this decision.
Yeah, me too. I think that, you know, again, they haven't commented officially, but all signs point to them taking swift action. And I definitely agree with you that it would be surprising if they didn't. I mean, they cut ties with Kyrie Irving as well over the whole, you know, his whole vaccination stance and the sharing of that Holocaust denial video on Instagram stories. So it's in line with what they've done in the past. And yeah, makes sense. I don't think there's too much more to say about that. You've rounded up pretty good. So we can move on to what have you been wearing? I mean, the sun's been out in Berlin. There's been a couple of gray days, but there's also been a couple of really, really nice days. So what's been gracing your feet the past couple of weeks?
Well, speaking of gray days, I've pretty much been only wearing one shoe a lot, basically, over the last month. And that is the 990 V6 in that OG gray colorway. You and I, when this shoe first came out, I think we were pretty loud with our critique of that shoe. We didn't like it. Especially you, I know, really, really didn't like it. And I have to say, my mind has completely switched with the 990 V6. I've really grown to appreciate the look. I think it's very nice and modern. And more so than the look, the comfort and just how light the shoe is compared to every other version of the 990 is, it's like night and day to me. It's so light. It's like I would even group it in a running category, and that's because the shoe does have the that foam technology that all of the New Balance runners have, and none of the previous 990s did that. And also just in terms of the fit, I like the fit a lot. It's not like with the previous 990s, I was always kind of confused on what size to get, because a lot of people say go half size down. Some people say go true to size. For me, I was kind of like in between, and I would always go with true to size, but I would, it was never like the perfect fit for me. With the 990 V6, I go true to size, fits me like a glove. Super comfortable, super light on feet. It's gotten to a point where I don't even wear other shoes now if I just want to have a nice comfortable walk. I took it with me to Sweden, was doing like 20k plus steps a day on that shoe, had no problems with my feet whatsoever in terms of like foot soreness or anything like that. So a huge fan of the 990 V6, and now I am absolutely counting down the days till we get this second colorway of the Action Bronson collab, which for me is like, now with how much I love the 990 V6, for me that's like the most or like the number one sneaker I want the most this year, because I love the colorway, love the model now. So yeah, I've come all the way around with the 990 V6, man.
Damn, you've done a 180 on those. But to be honest with you, I wouldn't say that I've done a 180 on them, but considering how loud my critique was at the beginning, I am starting to rethink my opinion of them. And I don't know whether this makes me, or maybe it doesn't make me a hypebeast, but maybe it's a very hypebeasty thing to say. It's the Action Bronson colorways that have brought me around a little bit. I thought the first one was okay, but the second two are super nice in my opinion, and really...
Wait, there's two more after the first?
Yeah, I think there's three in total.
Oh, I haven't even seen the third one.
Yeah, and so I think that the color blocking and the way that they've used the contrasting colors on the three colorways is a great way to complement the features of the 990 V6. I think it still does look a little bit like a Skechers Shape Up to me, and I won't take that back. I stand by that, just because of the sole is quite thick and has this like almost like rocker feature, right? It kind of curves a little bit, and it's very, very different, as you said, to the previous ones. It's got technology that's more in line with today's running shoes from New Balance, which is a good thing, I think. But yeah, it's a shoe that I'm undecided about. I haven't seen it in person. I would probably have to try it on, walk around with it a bit. I don't doubt that it's comfortable, but I would have to see how it feels and looks on foot for me. But it's a shoe that I'm definitely close to changing my mind about, maybe for certain colorways. But anyway, what I've been wearing over the past few weeks is I would say it's quite a similar looking shoe. It's actually the Mizuno Wave Rider Beta, which is kind of the modern day version or the latest evolution of the Wave Rider, but a lifestyle version. So the Wave Rider is Mizuno's, or one of Mizuno's, premier running shoes, and its most popular version is the Wave Rider 10, which dropped in 2010. Great shoe, some really nice colorways, some really nice collaborations, including the Woodwood collab from, I believe, 2020 it was. Two very, very beautiful colorways, one of which I have and one of which is my all-time favorite shoes. The Wave Rider 10 is also a super comfortable shoe, probably on the level of a 990. It's a shoe that you can wear all day, every day when you're doing a city tour or something like that, walking your 20, 30, 40,000 steps. But the Wave Rider Beta kind of strips down that athletic, sporty feel and has a much more distinct lifestyle aesthetic on the upper, at least. So it's a lot simpler. It's a lot more stripped back. The color blocking and the contrast is a lot more clear. There's less overlays. It's a lot less busy on the upper. And the sole unit is thicker and also has been a little bit streamlined and simplified. And I really, really like this shoe. It's incredibly comfortable. It's a little bit more bulky than the Wave Rider 10. And I would go so far as to say that the Wave Rider Beta is a close pick for one of the top sneakers of the year. And, you know, we'll obviously be doing our roundup in June, July, when half the year has gone by. And I'm very, very close to putting that on my list of top five sneakers. So it's a very, very good shoe.
Yo, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've been very much into this Wave Rider shoe recently, specifically because of that Beams collab with the all brown upper and the dark brown bottoms.
Beautiful. That was a super nice shoe. One.
Oh yeah, so, so nice. And this like you said, the Betas, more of a lifestyle feel, more like lifestyle type of materials on the upper. Yeah, really, really dope colorways. I'm actually quite excited to. I will be, and by the way, guys, I will be actually in Japan over the next, towards the end of this month for a couple of weeks. So I'm like counting down the days, dying of excitement, basically. I can't wait to check out all the sneaker stores there. I will definitely be going to a Mizuno store to check out like all the Japanese exclusive colorways, just see if something catches my eye. And I'm pretty sure that, I'm pretty sure prices there are just a lot cheaper for Mizuno's and Asics. So I'm hoping to find a lot of really dope Asics and Mizuno colorways that I can bring back. So let's see if I can maybe see a Japanese exclusive Wave Rider Beta colorway. That would be dope.
What have you picked up recently?
So in terms of pickups, most recent would be the Haritos Nike SB Dunks, which for me are my favorite SB Dunks of the year. I'm a big fan of that drink. It was an unexpected collaboration to see Haritos do one with SBs, just like we've seen, you know, Ben and Jerry's with SBs in the past. Like, this is not something new, but I thought it was really well done. I like all the apparel that comes with the shoes as well. The colorway they chose, really, really nice earth tones. You got the green and red, the green and orange, which matches the logo. And it's nice. And it comes with this really nice bag too, which is made out of hemp, which matches the hemp on the upper of the shoe. I just thought it was a great collab. I hope we could even see more colorways, you know? I mean, there's so many flavors of Haritos. So that would be nice. We got this orange one, which is like, I think it was styled after the mandarin flavor of Haritos. So I hope they do one maybe in the tamarind flavor, the pineapple. that would be amazing. But I don't think we'll see that many colorways. But either way, this was very, very nice. Favorite SBs of the year, easily. Another pickup. So this is a pair of Salomons. And for me, they are the Salomon of the year so far, and one of my favorite shoes. These are the Sandy Liang XT6s. Sandy Liang is a designer based out of, I believe, New York, and she designed the shoe. The inspiration for this shoe actually came from Pokemon. So it was the colorway was styled after Jigglypuff, which is one of the most popular Pokemons, and that's where you get this like pinkish purplish color on the upper. And specifically the model she chose was the XT6 Expanse, which is like a newer version of the XT6. And I think this colorway on this shoe is, yeah, it's a bit loud, but it looks fire, absolutely fire. And these flew. So I don't think there's been an XT6 or a Salomon sneaker period that I can think of that has had resale prices like these. Girl sizes of these currently are going for like 600, 700 euros in some size. Pretty phenomenal. I don't know the last time I've seen that on Salomon. So yeah, crazy, crazy collab. One of the best, I think, from the brand this year. A couple of more shoes that I picked up. One was just another pair of Sambas. It's still Samba season, and I just really like this colorway. This was the collegiate green colorway. It's an all-over suede upper, which is something rather different for a pair of Sambas, because usually that was like the one thing that was mainly different between Sambas and Gazelles. Gazelles always had a suede upper. Sambas usually had leather. But these Sambas have a suede upper. It has a bit of gray on the mudguard, and it's just a very, very nice, very aesthetically pleasing colorway, which as soon as I saw them, I'm like, yeah, I pretty much need these. So added those to the collection. And finally, I always wanted to get a pair of these, and I guess like at the time when the shoe released, I just resold them because I wasn't really feeling it all the way back then. This is the Nike Air Max 1 Patas. And I picked up this pair used. I found it on Depop. And this was an example of like, if you just wait, patience definitely saves pockets. And I always tell people, if you buy used, you can save so much money, because sometimes people just need money. They just want to get rid of their collection, and they get rid of shoes sometimes even below retail, which is what I actually got this pair for. I paid 125 euros for this pair. This was the Aqua.
That's a steal.
Yeah, definitely a steal. I would say it's in like 8 out of 10 condition wise, so I'm just going to have to give it a pretty good cleaning, but honestly, like for that price, not complaining. Great pair, and really, I'm excited to wear it this summer. I don't typically wear Air Max 1s at all, but this was like a really nice colorway of a really nice shoe that I wanted, and to be able to find it for that cheap, can't go wrong. So those are pretty much my pickups. What about yourself?
So I came back to quite a lot of shoes. Some of them were sent to me, some were seeded, and some were gifts. So very, very blessed. Others I bought for myself. So bear in mind that these are pickups from the last 3, almost 4 months, because I've been out of my apartment for 4 months now. I received a pair of these Stone Island New Balance 574s, which are incredible. I'm not a huge fan of the 574s, to be honest with you, but I love what Stone Island and New Balance have done on them. The choice of materials is very Stone Island-esque, and I'm a fan of the brand. I love the mega hairy suede that is used on these, and the materials all feel very, very premium. The colorway is also very tough, so super glad that I got those. Then shout out to Soulbox and the whole team over there for sending over the Soulbox Ultra Boost and Soulbox 4D Uncaged. Both of those incredible, super nice. Big fan of the Ultra Boost as well. It's got this kind of almost like, I don't want to say Daniel Arsham-esque pattern or design on the heel cage, but it's very similar to the kind of the work that he's been doing, that kind of crystallized ancient vibe that's going on. And I think Soulbox teamed up with a local Berlin artist to do that, called Ilya Goldman. Then I got a pair of the, actually bought these used, and you're right, you can get some really nice steals, and this is a pair that's probably not going to be in stores, the Casa or Quasa Racer Low Triple Black. I got those because I've always wanted them. I actually wanted the original colorway, which was the red, white, and black pair. Couldn't find those anywhere. This is a shoe from like 2013, 2014, so it is quite used, but I got a decent deal on it on Grailed. Then I was sent a pair of the Awake A6 Gel NYCs in that beautiful pink and blue colorway that's inspired by that iconic Cameron photo. Very, very comfortable shoe. I think the Gel NYC is going to be A6's next big thing this year after the Gel Cayano 14. The shoe is incredibly stylish. It's dropped in a huge number of colorways, and I think there's a lot more to be done with it in 2023. Then the aforementioned Mizuno Wave Rider Beta, super nice. Got the, I think the launch colorway, which is this nice pink, blue, and white pair. I got a pair of Union Air Jordan 4s in Top Haze. I bought those accidentally when a bid on StockX got accepted, actually the day that I flew to Thailand. So it was kind of like I bought them and then I had to wait 3 months to get my hands on them. And then I also got a couple of the Grade A New Balance Pack sneakers. Lucky enough to get my hands on those early. Got a pair of the 990 V6s, so very glad to be testing those out. So yeah, it's been nice, man.
You got those Grade A ones. Those are very, very nice.
Yeah, I think I love the twist from like the classic gray colorway to like this almost like more modern looking, more fashion forward looking gray. So super happy with those. And shout out to, you know, Oshun for hooking that up. We did a sponsored episode with New Balance about Grade A, and were then obviously blessed to be gifted a couple pairs from the pack via New Balance. So shout out Oshun, and shout out Amadeus, but also shout out New Balance for that one.
Yeah, that Grade A 990 V6 is very, very nice. Like a lot of people who were not really feeling the V6s up until right now, and that's like the first colorway that has had people saying, okay, I kind of get what the V6 hype is all about. It's a very, very nice colorway, I have to say. Oh, and congrats on getting the Top Haze, because I know that was like almost like a grail for you, the Union Top Hazes. And
yeah, it's been one of those pairs that's like, you know, I need to get my hands on them, and had a couple bids in, and then, you know, a decent bid. I mean, obviously it was still a chunk of money, but it wasn't a crazy amount of money, was accepted. So those, and then I'm still on the lookout for the ISPA Road Warriors. So if anyone knows of anyone selling those in a US 9 or 9.5, please let me know, because that's the next big ticket item on my list. But yeah, super happy.
Fire. We move into today's discussion. So let's do it. So what we're gonna do is, yeah, it's definitely pretty lighthearted, but we've picked up some topics here, and we're just gonna ask each other, pick a side, take a side, this or that. So we got five topics here, and it covers everything from Ronnie Fieg to Sambas versus Gazelles, and yeah, let's just have fun with it. Which question should we start off with? Should we
Let me jump in. So this one might be a big question, might, you know, warrant also a big answer. It might also be controversial depending on what each of us pick. So who has the better sneaker portfolio? Is it Ronnie Fieg or Teddy Santis?
Yeah, well, that is tough, man. That is so tough, because they're two icons. They're almost kind of have like the similar type of vibe, similar aesthetics, you could say, of their brands. But the thing is, we're just talking about sneakers, right? So when I look up Ronnie Fieg sneakers on StockX, I get 17 pages worth of shoes. Like, that's how deep of a roster Ronnie Fieg has had. He's even had a 10-year anniversary pack with New Balance. He's had a 30 pack of sneakers drop with Asics to celebrate his partnership there. It's like it goes back well over a decade at this point. So in terms of collabs, I think in the entire world of sneakers, he probably has the strongest long running partnership when it comes to collaborating with brands. He's super consistent, right? Teddy Santis, really mainly over the last 5 years or so, you know, his brand has really exploded, and his sneaker collaborations as well. But if I'm looking at just not like how many collabs the two have had, because if that were the case, Ronnie obviously wins, but I'm just looking at top end, right? So give me like the best three from each. I think that the best three from Teddy Santis are better than Ronnie's. So, like for me, if I would look at the best ever Teddy Santis, Amy Leondor collabs, I would say number one, 990 V2s that came out a while back. Number two would be maybe the 550s, the first pairs of 550s that came out, because when those came out, it kind of blew everyone away because no one had really heard of the 550 before. Everyone wanted a pair. I remember Instagram at that time was just people rocking 550s. The throat's running a bit dry here, but the 550s were just on the explore page. You could see like Hidden New York, all these pages just like bumping them over and over. It kind of took over the world by storm, and that was because of how clean that OG collab was. And and I would also put maybe the 997s in there that Teddy Santis did a while back. And I think those three are better than the best ever collabs I've seen from Ronnie Fieg, and there's been plenty, but I guess it's just a matter of personal preference. But I would take better sneaker portfolio just based on what the best shoes from each are. I would go Teddy over Ronnie. What about you?
Damn. I mean,
there's no really right, wrong or right answer. It depends on the criteria, but I gave you my explanation for criteria why I would take Teddy.
Exactly. I think it really depends on what you're looking at, right? Is it quality? Is it quantity? Is it quality within the quantity? Is it you're just picking three shoes or the absolute top three shoes? You're looking at the worst shoes. So I think the way you've done it is fair. I would take a different approach, and I'm looking at everything in a holistic sense, right? Like in terms of portfolio, in terms of legacy, in terms of what they've built up to this point in the sneaker world. And there's no question, right? Teddy Santis has done an amazing job with New Balance. Obviously, you know, they named him creative director of Made in USA, right? So this guy has had huge, huge influence in the last few years. And, you know, it's not without reason that one of the hottest or the hottest brand over the last 3 years has given him basically the keys to the kingdom to decide on what kind of shoes are going to be produced in the generally sphere, in addition to all of his Aimé Leondor collaborations. That being said, I would have to lean more towards Ronnie Fieg just because his body of work, in my opinion, is stronger. Aimé Leondor has had, you know, the odd collaboration with niche brands, right? Footwear brands, boot brands, whatever. But the bulk of the brand's work has been with New Balance, whilst Ronnie Fieg did it with New Balance. He did it with Asics. He's done it with Adidas. He's done it with Nike. He's done it with all of the big brands, right? So for me, that shows that he's actually done more thus far. And of course, he's been around for longer, so it's a bit of an unfair comparison. And maybe we need to judge Teddy Santis' first 15 years versus Ronnie Fieg's first 15 years, for example, right? But if you're looking just what has been achieved by both to this day, both have made incredible, incredible achievements. But for me, the body of work on Ronnie Fieg's side is just a little bit better because some of his Asics Gelite 3s are iconic. I mean, he was the king of the color block toe box, right? Like, that was his shit. I mean, I know other, you know, other brands, other retailers, other collaborators did it as well. And there was a huge theme back in like the late 2000s, early 2010s. But he was the king of collaborations from probably like his early days working in the stockroom to founding Kith through Asics. He pushed the Gelite 3. He did, you know, the New Balance 1500, the Daytona. He's done 990s. You know, he just changed, like, in my opinion, he changed the game. And it's crazy to me that he hasn't been pulled in as a creative director for a big brand. I know he's creative director of the New York Knicks right now, which is pretty huge as well. And I think That's probably also because he's tried to expand his portfolio in the last few years. He doesn't want to be seen as just the sneaker guy. He wants to be seen as like the brand guy, right? The brand guru. So he's working on Kith as a brand. He's working on Kith locations. He's working on his partnership with the New York Knicks and other stuff. So I think that's just because he wants to move into a different direction. But in terms of just also personally for me, I mean, I used to work around the corner from the Kith store in Manhattan, in NoHo at the time. And I was there before and after every single shift, you know, just looking at the shoes there, talking to the people in the store. And for me, like, Kith was like the coolest shit ever back then. So I've definitely got to go with Ronnie Fieg, but you're right. There is no wrong answer. There's no right answers. There's just personal preference. And I mean, that's the point of this, right? It's this or that. And I think I respect your pick, but I stand with Ronnie Fieg for sure.
I mean, he's the legend, man. And I know you said that you're surprised he hasn't been given creative director position at a big brand. I'm sure that doesn't mean he hasn't been offered the position. He probably That's just true. Turned it down because like his focus is probably just trying to expand Kith as worldwide as possible. I know they just opened a huge flagship store in Tokyo, which I can't wait to visit. But yeah, I mean, he's just been busy building his whole empire, man. I don't think he probably even has time to be creative director for some other brand. But yeah, man, definitely the man, the legend, Ronnie Fieg. Like you said, it's really tough between these two. We'll see. Like you said, let's compare first 15 to the next to each other's first 15. Teddy Santis is not even done like first decade yet, so we'll see when it's all said and done who reigns at the top.
But definitely, yeah. And I mean, I think just for fans of sneakers in general, I think both of these guys are going to be bringing out dope sneakers, dope collections in the future. So we're very blessed to have both of them part of the sneaker sphere. Moving on to the second question. I know you have a tough one for me here.
Yeah, so fear of God, man. You've seen some of the leaked images. We heard a long time ago that Jerry Lorenzo signed up with Adidas, but we've been waiting and waiting and waiting. When are we going to see the first shoe? Well, now we've seen a few images, man. We've seen there's like a high top. There's also a low top recently revealed. So I know you're a big fan of Fear of God. So what would you say is better right now? Fear of God Adidas versus Fear of God Nike?
Again, another tough one. I think it's hard to compare because Fear of God Nike has ended and there's been releases, and Fear of God Adidas only exists on rumors and leaks so far. And I believe that Fear of God Athletics has already said that the sneakers we've seen in pictures are the final sample, but they're not the final shoe. Things still might be changed slightly, right? No huge drastic changes. I think the overall design will stay the same, but a few details might be different on the release pairs when they do come out. What I find really interesting about the Adidas collaboration is that these are actual performance shoes, right? Jerry Lorenzo is creative director of Adidas Basketball, which means the shoes he's creating are actually performance basketball shoes, which is pretty dope. And that's why I think that's probably the big reason why I would have to lean more towards Adidas over his Nike collaborations. I thought his Nike collaborations were very cool, but they were very uncomfortable. At least the Fear of God one was incredibly uncomfortable. I tried that on and it was hard to get on and even harder to take off, and walking around in that shoe was not fun. What I thought was cool about that shoe was I thought the design was pretty cool. I thought that they gave him like a completely original shoe, showed that they had a lot of faith in him as a designer, because as we know, a lot of collaborators don't get their own shoe from the get-go. And what is also interesting is that he took a Fear of God last and flew that from Italy to, I believe it was not New York, it was Oregon, because he was at the world headquarters in Oregon. And they basically used the Fear of God last to make these Fear of God Nike shoes, which shows just the level of detail and the quality that he was trying to achieve with these shoes. So that was definitely really cool, and means that, you know, the Nike Fear of God collaboration was a cool one, was a good one, was definitely a success in my eyes. But the performance factor with the Adidas collaboration just edges it for me. if you asked me, were these shoes worth the wait? Because wasn't he, like, he was announced like at least 2 years ago, right? I don't know if they were worth the wait, to be honest, but I am very interested to see the direction that he takes it in and what else is coming out, and if there will be accompanying apparel, because I think that's also where Adidas will make a lot of money and create a lot of hype, because the Fear of God aesthetic is so cool, and if they can translate that to basketball and get some like really dope Adidas basketball attire that has that Fear of God flair, then they have a huge money maker there, in my opinion. So yeah, I'm a big fan and can't wait to see more. I also, like, there's a lot of people online that are saying that they look very similar to the Nike shoes, which makes them worse in their opinion. But I actually think that's a cool thing because it shows that he's staying true to his aesthetic and he's adapting it, right? He adapted it to Nike, he adapted it to the swoosh, and he's adapting it to the three stripes, which shows that he's staying true to himself, but also has a bit of leeway there to adapt to the brand that he's working with as well. And it's also, it shows that the two brands have given him complete creative control and said, hey man, make whatever you want. Don't make like a new version of the Samba. Don't make a new version of this shoe. Don't make a new version of the Nike Air Max 1 or whatever. Do whatever you want. And that's what he's done on both sides. So yeah, both collaborations really nice, but the Adidas edges it for me. What about you, man?
I know we said we would try to take both sides here when doing these questions, but I was just never a fan of any of the Nike Fear of God shoes. I don't get that whole Fear of God aesthetic and vibe. I've just never been a fan of, I guess, the brand or even like the Essentials line. It's like, name one brand that you'll never see me in, it's probably Fear of God. So the Nike Fear of God, Nike Fear of God sneakers, just a bit much in my opinion. I got them, I reviewed them, I found them incredibly uncomfortable. Didn't really understand. It didn't really fit with my own personal style at all. So I was not a fan of those at all, any of them. If there was one that I kind of sort of liked, it was probably those Air Raids, the ones that had like that crisscross pattern on them with the swoosh. Those are probably like my favorite out of all that drop, but I wasn't a fan of any of them. But I know it's like very much like a hit or miss, like hate it or love it type of vibe with all of those sneakers. However, from the limited pictures I've seen of the Adidas ones, I especially am a big fan of the low top version. I think that is something that I could even see myself wearing, which is something I've never said about a Fear of God before. And also, to go back a little bit in history, there is, I mean, I'm not sure if this is rumor or fact, but to my knowledge, Jerry Lorenzo was one of the main designers also behind the Yeezy 750, which technically was, which is also an Adidas shoe. I know it's not Fear of God Adidas, but like Jerry had a big part in that as well. So I would give him a lot of credit for that shoe. And that is like one of the best Yeezys, period. Some people would say the best Yeezy. So I do think, I know we haven't even seen the first release yet of the Fear of God Adidas, but I'm already more excited about this one than any of the previous Nike and Jerry Lorenzo shoes from the past. So I would say for me also, Adidas takes this round.
Would you wear them? Like, because
the low tops, yeah.
Because sometimes there's shoes where you're like, you know, I appreciate the design, I appreciate the inspiration, the aesthetic, whatever, but it's like not something that fits with what I wear, or like I can't pull it off, right? And I would say that probably the Adidas Fear of God is in that category for me. Like, I don't know if I would wear them or could wear them. Maybe I'll try, you know? Maybe I'll cop a pair and try. But I'm not sure. But what about you? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's how I felt exactly about the Nike pairs, you know? Like, they were great, like material wise they were good, and I one thing I will appreciate about those shoes is that they looked like no other Nike sneaker. Like, they were very unique, very much like it had that Fear of God energy in the shoe. But I had no idea how to wear them. Like, to me, the Fear of God ones kind of look like a space boot, like something like for astronauts. Like, I didn't get how to, like, I don't know what pants to wear with them. Like, I just didn't fit with what I like to wear. It doesn't mean that's not necessarily what makes them a bad shoe, because a lot of people can pull them off, but I couldn't pull them off. But this low top Fear of God Adidas, That seems like a much more like universal friendly shoe, meaning like I could feel like it's not going to be as hated or loved as some of the previous Fear of God shoes. It seems like something that the masses would like more because it seems to be pretty wearable. And yeah, I can see myself wearing that. Not the basketball run. The basketball version, which I think Pusha T first leaked, that one seems a bit difficult to pull off too, like previous Fear of Gods. But the low top one is, it seems pretty wearable.
Yeah, I feel like Fear of God mainline, but also collaborations, is like you need to wear all like head to toe Fear of God to
yeah exactly that's it. What it's that's a, what I don't like about them.
It's like a very clear aesthetic. It's almost like Y3, right? You almost have to wear, or like Acronym, you have to be like a tech ninja for it to work. And I find that with a Fear of God, so we'll see. I'm very excited to see like the final release versions and how limited they will be and how they release them, because I am definitely a fan of what I've seen so far and hope to see more. Let's move on to the next question. So we're going to stick with collaborations, but we're going to move from the Three Stripes to the Jumpman. Josh, who has been a better Jordan Brand collaborator, Union or Ama Manier?
Oh, all right. Well, this one for me is, I would say it's a pretty easy decision for me. I got to go with Union on this one. We got to look at the history here with the Jordan 1, with the more recently released 4s, but especially the 1s. Okay, the 1s, people could say that it's just one of the best collabs we've seen on a 1. It was something completely out of left field, putting two colorways together, kind of like cutting and stitching them together in a way that we've never seen before. I thought it was great. It was a very refreshing take on a Jordan 1 and some really nice colorways as well. With the 4s too, like I love my pair of Off-Noir 4s and even that other colorway. What was it called? The Guava Ice or something? Guava Ice, yeah. Guava Ice was fire. The Topazes were fire. I know in recent times, they've just not been hitting the same with their collabs, especially that recent Jordan 1 Low Canvas. Wasn't really feeling those. And also this upcoming Jordan 1 High, which seems to be like a mix of a Jordan 1 and a Nike Footscape
woven, yeah.
Yeah, which is it's interesting. It's an unexpected collab, but it just doesn't work. I'm sorry. Like those Jordan 1s look hideous, look like they have teeth on them. But yeah, so compared to some of their previous work, I have been kind of disappointed in some of their recent collabs. But what I do like about them versus Ama Manier is that they try to do something different with every one of their collabs, right? So like none of their collabs look like each other. They all kind of look different. They all have a unique story behind them. With the Ama Maniers, I feel like they try to replicate the same colors, the same kind of materials, and they just kind of move it from like one model to the next. Like it was the same, almost the same colorways with the 3s and the 1s, and we've seen that burgundy color now used on almost all their sneakers, like the 4s, the 12s, the 3s, and also on the 1s, like we had the burgundy on the inside of the shoe and then the swoosh. So it's like they kind of try to do the same thing and just kind of move the same colorways between all the different silhouettes, which I guess is kind of cool too if you're really into it. But I was hoping, you know, they'd do something a little bit different with their shoes like Union has done. But yeah, I mean, I just think overall, like the best shoe that either of these two brands have made, I would say would be the Jordan 1 Union High, and then probably followed by the Ama Manier 3s. I just think Union, because they attempt to do something different every time, it's not always successful, but when they are successful, they absolutely hit like no other Jordan collaborator. I got to give it to Union.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said, or pretty much all of what you've said, except for the fact that I do really like the woven Air Jordan 1s. I think it's different. I think it's cool, and I think it's going to be slept on. And in a couple of years, people look back and be like, damn, why didn't I cop those?
Are you gonna get a pair and wear them?
I mean, I don't really wear high tops, and I find Jordan 1s super uncomfortable. I do have a few Jordan 1s. I got the Shadows, I got the Ama Manier 1s. So I will maybe try and get the white pair when it drops, but it's not going to be something that I'm like super running after, and I won't be too upset if I don't get it. But like, if I do get them, I would be happy, right? So that being said, I would personally have to, so I respect everything that Union has done. I think, you know, their non-Jordan brand collabs have been very good as well. Obviously they have the Dunks, they've got the Air Force Ones, they've got the Cortez, and all super nice shoes. But I'm a huge fan of storytelling, and whilst I respect the storytelling that goes into the Union collaborations, the colorways and stuff like that, and the inspiration, Ama Manier's storytelling is second to none. They are industry leading. They have the greatest and realest stories, right? Like James Whitner and his whole team, whether it's Ama Manier's social status, they put so much effort into all the stories, into the rollout, the marketing, the images, the videos, the raffles. And I really love that in today's day and age where, you know, brands could just, you know, buy into the hype, or retailers could buy into the hype, collaborators, and then just release their shoes. I think that, you know, and release their shoes and sell out automatically. I think that, you know, I have to respect that they're sticking to their guns. They're sticking to their stories. They're sticking to what is important to them and their communities. And they're sticking basically to their community and uplifting their community and members of their community. And so for me, Ama Manier has done an amazing job. There's a coherent story throughout. There's a coherent thread throughout with the colorways, the colors that they use, the tones. And honestly, I think we're going to end up with having like almost every single Air Jordan be collaborated on by Ama Manier. I mean, there's a pair of fives coming out too. I wouldn't be surprised to see a pair of sevens, eights, basically any Jordan that Jordan played in. So I'm going to have to go with Ama Manier.
Okay, I mean, it's fair. Let's see, like those fives, they look very interesting. I'm not going to lie. Those fives look kind of fire. But yeah, I mean, I do want to see something different about them. I do agree with what you said about the storytelling. Realist stories, by far. And people really relate to them like no other storytelling I've seen. I just want to see them do something a bit more creative with their shoe designs. But I think they're easily, we can both agree, the two best collaborators on Jordan Brand.
I mean, if it works, it works, right? Don't break what ain't, don't fix what ain't broke. But I do obviously respect that some people want to see a little bit more variation. I think also it's kind of cool, like if you see them as a pack, right? There's some people that have every pair or most pairs of the Air Jordan Ama Manier collaboration. It's kind of nice to have them all together and it's like one coherent theme. But I do understand where you're coming from as well. I think there's merits to both sides for sure.
All right, let's move on. So let's talk about the hottest shoes of the moment right now, and that is, it might sound old for some of you guys, but it still is the hottest shoe right now. There's no doubt. That is the Adidas Sambas, and also plenty of other Adidas sneakers. There's another Adidas shoe that's creeping up in popularity a lot, which is like the Campus 2000s. I've started to see those sell out everywhere, but that's not what we're talking about here. We are talking about the two biggest classics from Adidas. Are you, Fabian, Team Samba or Team Gazelle?
Oh, I mean, it's very difficult, but if you put me on the spot, I would have to gut reaction say I'm Team Gazelle, just because I'm a big fan of suede. And the Gazelle is obviously traditionally a suede shoe. I mean, you see leather Gazelles too, but I also like the shape of them a little bit more than the Samba. They have a little bit more oomph to them, in my opinion. And generally the colorways are a lot more, not even adventurous, right? Because they're just like mostly solid block colors, and the Samba comes in black and white leather. So I just like the versatility of the Gazelle a little bit more. And I mean, they're very, very similar shoes, right? They're both indoor football shoes from the 70s, 80s. And in terms of design, there's not huge differences. It's almost kind of like the Dunk versus the Air Jordan 1, right? Like they're very, very similar. But gun to my head, I would have to say the Gazelles. What about you?
I'm definitely going to go with Samba. So the first sneaker I actually ever bought for myself was a pair of Sambas. And this was before I was like even into shoes. Like this was when I was just like someone who just wore, you know, shoes because you had to wear them. And the Sambas were just the first pair that I was really, I guess, attracted to because it was just low profile. I felt like you can really wear it. I would get a lot of use out of it. And I've never really stopped liking that shoe. In terms of pure looks, I like it much more than the Gazelles. I do really like the Gazelle indoors, the ones that have the nice gum bottoms. But like compared to the standard Gazelle, like it's like no debate for me. Like the regular Sambas are way better than the regular Gazelles. I know people think of Gazelles nowadays mainly with like, you know, the Gucci ones, which are the Gazelle indoors, but that's just one version of the Gazelle. But with the Sambas, I feel like there's so many really fire versions. There's the OG Sambas. There's the classic Sambas with the long tongues that I know a lot of people don't like, but I actually like the long tongues, especially the upcoming Wales Bonner collab. I don't know if you've seen those. The silver Super. Ones, and there's also the brown one with the dark brown tongue.
So nice. Both.
Yeah, super, super nice. Wales Bonner and Adidas, man, just such a good combo. Yeah, really, really like those. There's also like the cycling version, the Velo Sambas, which look pretty good. And just in terms of fit too, like the Sambas for me just fit my feet personally better, which is another reason why I like them. And yeah, man, just, I mean, overall, it just comes down to the looks. And I would just pick the Sambas over Gazelles strictly just based out of looks. So yeah, I'm team Samba for sure.
That's fair enough. I think both super classic, both very similar, both available in different versions. So you're right, they are the shoe of the moment, at least when it comes to the three stripes, and you can't really go wrong with either of those. That brings us to our final this or that, and probably one of the least controversial, but a fun one nonetheless. Would you rather, if you had to pick one type of shoe to wear for the rest of your life, would you rather wear runners or court classics? And for those of you listening, court classics is basically anything that was worn on a court, you know, so the Air Jordan line, the Air Force line, the Flight line from Nike, but then also, you know, the Stan Smiths on the tennis court. You've got the Sambas and the Gazelles for the indoor football courts. So that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about court classics. And then the runners are your obvious like 990s, A6 gel Cayanos, etc., like those kinds of shoes. Josh, what are you picking?
Okay, so this kind of like comes down to fundamental question people have when it comes to sneakers, which is like, do you prefer comfort or looks? that's what it really comes down to for me. And picking runners, definitely more comfortable, easily. But when I think about like the wide available choices we have with the court sneakers, so that includes pretty much all Jordans, 1s, 3s, 4s, doesn't matter. Michael Jordan wore them on a court, right? And we love those shoes. Like I could never think about never wearing a pair of Jordans again if you know, gun to my head, choosing court classics versus runners. Same with 550s, great shoe. The Air Force Ones, come on, Air Force Ones, like imagine not being able to wear Air Force Ones again. Like when I'm thinking about like what sneakers I know I'm just gonna look good in always, I look at all the different options available with the court classics, and they just seem much wider to me, right? Stan Smiths, like you mentioned, of course, like I wear Sambas pretty much every day nowadays, you know, like my Wales Bonner pair, and because of how versatile that shoe is. It's not comfortable at all, zero in terms of comfort, but I still really like the way they look. So for me, it comes down to why I love sneakers in the first place, and that's because of like how they make me feel. Like they make me feel more confident. I love talking about them. And that's mainly because of what they look like. The comfort for me is like kind of like a bonus. It's a benefit. I know that's kind of like the fundamental purpose of shoes, but for me, like, it's about like, I want a shoe that really looks good. So I just like the options much more with the Court Classics. So yeah, what about you yourself?
That's fair enough. I think anyone who knows me, anyone who's listened to at least one episode on this pod will know that I'm a huge runner freak, and that 90% of what I wear, or 95% of what I wear, is running inspired or running based. So I would have to pick the runners. I'm talking about, you know, the Mizuno Wave Rider, the Gelcayanos, the 990s, the 992s, the 993s, the 991s. All of that good old school lifestyle stuff. But then I'm also talking about the newer stuff, the Adidas 4D, the Ultra Boost. All that figures into the runners, and all of that is pure comfort. So we're on running, Norda, brands like that, Saucony. There's so many running brands that I'm a huge fan of, and I don't think I could do without them. And obviously, I mean, this is a hypothetical, right? You know, you never have to choose between the two. And I do have a lot of Court Classics in my collection as well, mainly Air Force Ones and a couple of Air Jordan Ones. But I'm a sucker for comfort, and runners offer that over anything else. So I do not see myself never wearing those again. It's basically what I grab when I'm just on the way to the Späti, or like going out quickly to run some errands. They're the shoes that are always by the door. They're easy to slip on, easy to slip off. And yeah, you always know what you're going to get. And so for me, those are the most versatile shoes that you can kind of think of. And then also, like I said, the more performance leaning models, you know, the new Stone Island, New Balance running shoes that came out last year, big fan of those as well. And I like to mix it up sometimes and wear like some more performance based stuff. So yeah, I don't think I could have answered anything else runners, but I do appreciate that there are some very nice and legendary Court Classics out there. So
the toughest thing for me to give up would be the New Balances, right? Like the New Balances are technically, well, a lot of them are runners, like originally the 2002s, the 1906s, these are all intended to be runners. So they go into that category. That would be like the toughest shoe to give up, like basically any New Balances. Yeah. And that's where like I'm like, do I really like go with the Court Classics? But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, there's just a lot of options I love from the Court Classics. But hey, this question is a perfect summation of why you and me are great on this pod, man. We both have very different tastes when it comes to sneakers. You, like you said, you're 95% runners. I would say I'm like 80% Court Classic, so it's a pretty nice balance in terms of like what we're both into. So yeah, man.
Facts. No, yeah, and also so. one Court Classic that we forgot to mention is also the Dunk. Obviously, right? That's a huge.
Oh yeah, one. Man. Of course, that's another Court Classic.
And you've got so many Dunks in your collection, whether SB or not. So I think that would be super hard for you to never wear again. But yeah, yeah, I mean, definitely. That
technically Converse too. Like Converse is also a Court Classic.
Yes, true. They have a lot of, I mean, yeah, Chucks, right? I'm not a huge Chuck fan, but Converse, it's a weird one. Like, where would you put Vans? Because they're neither Court nor running. So no, I guess they're like, kind of like, I mean, they're like free agents. You can wear those.
Free agents. I mean,
you can wear them whatever side you're on.
There are some free agent shoes like, actually, I was going to say Blazers, but the Blazers were also used on the Court, if I those remember correctly.
Yeah, those are Court Classics.
But what about Air Maxes? What, are those runners?
Those are runners, man. All the Air Maxes, Air Max 97s, okay. Air Max 1, Air Max 95, those are all pure running shoes.
So that's, okay, so, wow. I feel like we need to revisit this topic at another time.
Bro, we need to do like a whole episode on deep it at dive. Some point down the line.
Deep dive into this topic.
Runners versus Court Classics.
Yeah, no, that's tough,
man. That wraps up our this or that segment. We hope you enjoyed it. This is a new format for us, so definitely let us know how you felt about that, and also let us know whether you agree, disagree, think that we're stupid for what we said, or think that we're geniuses for what we said. Yeah, that takes us into the upcoming drops. Josh, do you want to walk us through those?
Yo, definitely. We're heating up, man. We're getting into the summertime, and some big drops coming up this month. So May the 10th is a big day. On May the 10th, we have the Nike Airship Every Game. And they're coming out in a blue colorway and a red colorway. And I'm still confused whether this pair is the same as the Nigel Sylvester's, which we saw that had like Bike Air on the back, or if that was a custom or not. But just looking at pictures of the Airship in this blue colorway, it looks pretty much identical to the Airships that Nigel Sylvester was floating around. So I'm going to assume these are the same shoe. But either way, they look very, very nice. For me, it's the blue one. Like, I actually am really into it. I'm not a big fan of wearing high tops in the summertime, though. So that's kind of what I'm like, I don't know if I need them right now. But maybe for the fall time, I might rock them. But those are coming out May the 10th at $150. Then also on May the 10th, we have the sneakers release of the Haritos Dunk SBs. So in the high probability event that you took an L on one of the skate shop raffles, your best bet is sneakers. So look out for those on May the 10th. May the 12th is gray day for New Balance. And that means they are releasing a lot of sneakers, all of them in tasteful versions of gray. My favorite by far is the V6s that you already picked up. These are some of the nicest V6s that have released so far, like non-collab colorways. And there's also a V4 releasing in the exact same colorway. Some other pairs include a 998. There's also a 996 releasing, a 550, bunch of other models. There's a lot. There's also some 9060s. There's tons of shoes dropping on May the 12th. So if you love New Balance, you love gray New Balance sneakers specifically, this is the day you got to circle on your calendar. The following day, May the 13th, we have the Jordan 4 Thunder finally restocking after, I believe, like 7 or 8 or 9 or 10, I don't know, a long, long time. And funny enough, I thought there would be a lot of hype for this shoe, but there was a surprise release on the sneakers app about a week ago, and a lot of people got pairs. I'm looking at prices on StockX right now. They're already sitting at around like $250, $280. So once you sell those, once you take away fees and all that, you're already almost at retail, which is kind of crazy because those original pairs, which came out seven or eight years ago, those are going for $700, $800 in a lot of different sizes. So it's crazy how much the hype has fallen off of that shoe. And now once these finally release, they might even go for retail or under retail, who knows. But that doesn't take away from the fact that it is a pretty nice colorway. Not my favorite, not my favorite Jordan 4 colorway, but a classic nonetheless. On May the 18th, we're going to be seeing the Jordan 3 Lucky Green release in the US. They've already released in Europe, but the Lucky Greens, very clean pair. We also saw the Lucky Green 1s that dropped last month. The 3s dropping on the 18th. And then finally on May the 20th, we will be getting the Jordan 1 Across the Spider-Verse. This is in, I guess, collaboration. I don't know if it's a collab, but I guess this is releasing at the same time, around the same time that new Spider-Verse movie is dropping. And this pair, very, very funky looking Jordan 1 with a lot of different shapes and a lot of different colors near the top of the shoe. Not my favorite Jordan 1 either, but these did also shock drop last week, sold out instantly. Is it really a shock drop, by the way, if everyone knows it's gonna drop? I don't get why they call it a shock drop. Like, everyone knew last week at 8 p.m. at this specific time they would shock drop, and they dropped on the app, it even said shock drop. But I'm like, it's not a shock if you're all expecting it, right? So I don't know why they call it that, but look for those May the 20th, guys.
Nice. A lot of fire coming our way. A lot of Jordans actually coming our way. And New Balance Grade A is going to be a big one. So, keep a lookout for that. And let us know what you end up picking up in the next few weeks. That is it for this episode. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you guys listening to us. We appreciate you guys sharing your thoughts with us. We appreciate you guys leaving reviews on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We appreciate you guys sharing your thoughts with us in the DMs, on the comments, and obviously, please, please, please share this podcast with your friends, with your family, anyone who likes sneakers or streetwear, because we enjoy doing this and we enjoy more and more people listening to us. So yeah, thank you for listening and see you guys all next time. Peace.
Thank you guys. Peace.